is iAmerica Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. British troops are now distributing fuel in Basra after three people were killed over the weekend during violent protests. A British officer says their job is to aid and supervise the distribution of fuel because they've had a problem with some of the Iraqi people taking too much and not leaving enough fuel for everyone else.
So we're here to facilitate that and ensure that everybody gets an adequate amount of fuel, therefore keeping everybody reasonably happy as best as we can.
This weekend's unrest is being blamed on continuing shortages of power and fuel. Angry crowds attacked vehicles and set tires on fire in the streets of Basra. British troops responded by firing warning shots. Two Iraqis and a security guard from Nepal were killed. A couple suspected of burying the remains of at least two people in their backyard in Raymond, Washington, is scheduled to make their first court appearance today. John Didion with the Pacific County Sheriff's Department says investigators are searching the couple's backyard for more clues.
We were able to uncover human remains. We have information that leads us to believe that there may be multiple victims, at least two.
Didion says investigators believe the remains found are connected to a 1994 missing persons case. They say they're hoping to solve several missing persons cases by digging on the property. The man is now held on $500,000 bail. The woman is behind bars on $1 million.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patented active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
Classes begin on August 25th for the nearly 100,000 students who attend the 14 state-owned universities in Pennsylvania. This comes despite ongoing talks between the state system of higher education and the union representing about 5,500 teachers and 500 coaches. State negotiators met separately on Friday with SSHE officials and representatives from the Association of Pennsylvania State Colleges and Universities. Nearly 6 hours of discussions produced little, but Kevin Kodish of APSCUF says he's confident an agreement can be worked out.
The faculty members, number one, they want to teach. That's their job, and that's what they love doing. And you know, they don't want to be talking about strikes and extended bargaining. They want to just do their jobs, and we have pledged we will return to the classroom at the start of the semester, regardless if there's a contract or not.
Two of the main concerns are salary and benefits, but Kodish adds there are other issues. SSHE spokesman Ken Marshall says negotiations are always a slow process, but he believes the teachers are committed to their jobs. The next in a series of scheduled meetings is Friday.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Actress Jessica Lange says she wants her first mission as a goodwill ambassador for the UN Children's Fund to draw attention to the issue of tribal violence and rape in northeastern Congo. Lange says the Congolese victims of rape have an inner core of iron.
Despite their terrible injuries, psychologically and emotionally and physically, you know, they were finding a way to continue.
Lange listened to the stories of over 100 women who were raped in a single month of tribal warfare in the region. Victims are reported to range from 4 to 75 years old. Wall Street starting off the week on a positive note. Tech stocks snapped a six-session losing streak and blue chips gained as investors await the Fed policy meeting tomorrow. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 26 points to 92.17. The NASDAQ added 17 to 16.62. The S&P 500 was up by 3 to 9.81. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. You do it every day. Some are nice and firm, some sort of flabby, others very loose. I'm talking about, you know, handshakes. There's an automotive handshake you should know, too. When I come back, I'll introduce you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is Racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and Christian Fittipaldi. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Dodge, Ford, but they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
Like people, a handshake with a particular part of your car can tell you a lot. Drivers, let me introduce your exhaust system. Now, reach out and shake your tailpipe. That's right, your end of your exhaust system, which includes your muffler and catalytic converter. If your tailpipe wiggles, you can bet there's a loose connection or rusted bracket, which means your muffler isn't far from being highway litter. So save yourself noise, fumes, and expense. Give your tailpipe a shake. I'm Bobby Likas, brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Monday evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. If you'd like to join the fun and frivolity, you may do so. Call us at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 800-825-5937. Or send us an email, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. We hope to have some audio for you tomorrow of Bush today. He was in the Arizona wilderness. It was unbelievable. I don't think I've ever heard Bush butcher logic and English language so wantonly as he did today. It was like somebody gave him a chainsaw and a whole room full of words and said, here, go chop them all up. He was trying to explain how a healthy forest is one that is clear-cut by the logging industry, you know, stuff like that. So we should bring that to your listening pleasure tomorrow. Finally, it's been figured out. University of California, Berkeley, some researchers there. Have you heard about this? They sent a press release more than a week ago, after looking at 50 years of data. Researchers have identified, now this will be no surprise to you, researchers have identified psychological patterns that are common to the minds of right-wingers. Now, the findings are being published in the American Psychological Association's Psychological Bulletin. And you want to hear some of the predictors of conservatism? Again, this would be no surprise to you, nor me. But it's interesting to see it finally put out there by a scientific organization based on science, statistical research. I guess, is that science? Not according to Mark Twain. But here are the predictors of conservatism, the psychological predictors of conservatism. Think about your people you know who are conservatives. The predictors of conservatism are fear, aggression, dogmatism, authoritarianism, tolerance of inequality, intolerance of ambiguity, resistance to change, and lack of integrative complexity in thought and speech. Huh? Doesn't that kind of do it for you? Fear? I have found, ever since I started noticing the difference, the real fundamental, the essential difference between liberals and conservatives, liberals are brave, are the kind of, hey, let's give it a shot and see what happens. Conservatives, Republicans, are terrified. They're eat up with fear. Liberals are more of the, make love, not war type, right? Huh? Isn't that kind of the template from the 60s? Hey, bro, make love, not war. Try some of this, right? But conservatives, they're just eat up with aggression. Very aggressive. Very scared. Conservatives, Republicans, are dogmatic, you know? No room for ambiguity. No room for discussion. This is the way it is. Daddy says so. Or the priest, or the rabbi, or the man with the whip, or the man with the gun, or, oh, man, isn't that the truth? They tend towards authoritarianism. Of course, we knew that. Any conservative wants to have a leader who will occasionally make the conservative bow down with a gag on his mouth and take the lash, right? Not that there's anything wrong with that. They tolerate inequality. Duh. Down through history, it's conservatives who promulgated the idea of slavery, servitude, whether it was kind of an indebted servitude or just involuntary servitude, whatever. This has been the conservative mindset forever, for all eternity, since there have been apes that could talk, right? Resistance to change, well, duh. Lack of integrative complexity in thought and speech. Yeah, listen to Bush if you want an example of that. This guy can't handle a compound sentence, much less a compound idea. But they put together, University of California, Berkeley, put together this research in a press release. Well, not the research, but the announcement and a synopsis of the research is going to be published in the APA Psychological Bulletin. But the released went even a little bit further, noting that what they call disparate conservatives like Hitler, Mussolini, Ronald Reagan, and Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, that's disparate, all right. Each of these thugs preached a return to an idealized past, and each of these thugs condoned equality, inequality. Yeah, whether it's racial inequality, economic inequality, political inequality, and inequality in the application of justice. Yeah, think about it. Reagan, Hitler, Mussolini, Limbaugh. Absolutely. Now, the authors are from Stanford University, UC Berkeley, and the University of Maryland. They insist the research is serious scholarship. The basic findings come from the synthesizing of 88 previously published samples involving 22,818 participants from 12 countries. Now, that seems like a fairly broad base for your research, doesn't it? Huh? The study starts by assuming that people adopt a belief system such as conservatism partly to satisfy some psychological need. Not that there's anything wrong with that. The authors also maintain they're not being judgmental here. They you know, if you want to read something into this like I did, that's up to you. Labeling conservatives less complex isn't precisely the same, you see, as saying they're simple-minded. Well, I disagree with that. I have never met a conservative yet who can handle complex ideologies, thoughts, processes, challenges, questions, whether it is of a religious nature, a political nature, a nature, economic nature, social nature. Think about it. Conservatives are incapable, Republicans are incapable of handling complex ideas or complex thought. It just simply can't be done. That's why they are so easy to muster into lockstep. Vote for George Bush. Okay. One of the researchers' methods in putting the study together involved analyzing political speeches and judicial opinions on the basis of structural complexity. Let's see which ideas are simple and which are more complex. Conservatives thought and spoke simply. They're very simple-minded people. For example, Bush's observation, look, my job isn't to nuance. Right? Right? Now, how do you explain, then, If simplicity of thought and action and a lack of complexity defines a conservative, how do you explain the rhetoric of a William Buckley, right, or George Will? Well, according to the authors of the study, there are exceptions. There are exceptions. Well, of course. But you see, the exception is what destroys it for the Republicans, for the conservative. You see that? If there is an exception to the rule, then the rule is immediately invalid because everything has to be absolutely black and white. You see how they operate. I just thought you all might like to know that. I don't think it's anything you didn't already know, how stupid. That's my word, stupid. See, the researchers don't call them stupid. I call them stupid. Just stupid, ignorant, savages. What else here? Now, the Berkeley College Republicans, since this came out of UC Berkeley, the press release. The Berkeley College Republicans are demanding an apology for what they are saying is an offensive press release. They want an apology. How dare you say that about us? We're not dumb and stupid and narrow-minded. We're not full of fear. We're not aggressive. We want that retracted. We'll break all the bones in your body, but we're not aggressive. Right? It's an offensive press release. Well, just thought you might like to know that science now has put its seal, imprimatur. Imprimatur, how do you say that word, Kathy? I'm trying to do a word a day. I'm trying to do a word a day. Imprimatur? Is it the I or is it I? Imprimatur? You know, the stamp of approval. Let me get a sip of my Diet Coke here. When I was a kid, my favorite section of Reader's Digest was, "It pays to increase your word power." checkpoints. You all are familiar with checkpoints. Over the past 10, 12, 15 years, the most repeated instance of checkpoint trouble is where it concerns Palestinians who have to go through checkpoints in their territory, the occupied territories, checkpoints run by the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces. So you've heard the term Checkpoint Charlie during the Cold War in Berlin. We're familiar with checkpoint. Now Iraq, the checkpoints. How about right out here in southern Arizona? A man was shot and killed early this morning by sheriff's deputies after he went through a checkpoint set up to keep the common slimy population of Arizona away from Bush's visit to this fire-ravaged area in southern Arizona. A guy who apparently, according to the Reuters news agency, was apparently half in the bag.
Hey, is the president coming?
Yeah.
You son of a bitch. I want you.
Bam! Bam! And he's dead. Right? Says the man who was not immediately identified was apparently intoxicated and thrust a beer out of his SUV window when he was briefly stopped at about 1 a.m. local time by an officer at the base of Mount Lemmon, northeast of Tucson. Mm-hmm. The sheriff's spokesman said the man maneuvered his, it's a Chevy Suburban, around the barricades, began driving up the mountain road where he was confronted by deputies about 4 miles from the checkpoint. A special weapons and tactics team, a SWAT team, was then requested, and they shot this poor bastard dead. A drunk. A stupid drunk. Who, you know this, don't you? You know this is true. This guy had no more idea Bush was going to appear on that mountain in his mind than the possibility that Christ would appear on that mountain. This was a drunk. Somebody swilling beer, driving his Chevy Suburban, should have been put in jail for DUI, and now he's dead. Why? Because Bush was going to be on that mountain hours later.
That we don't take we take lives when we have to protect the people.
I am driven to overcome I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet, A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Robert emails in that he's always pronounced it imprimatur. Imprimatur. Okay. Thank you, Robert. Imprimatur. It pays to increase your word power. Imprimatur. How about that? Thank you, Robert. All you needed to run for governor in part two of this recall effort against Gray Davis, engineered by Karl Rove and brain-dead Republicans, is 65 signatures and, what, $3,500 filing fee. I shouldn't say all you need. That's a lot of money, okay? Now, that's compared to hundreds of thousands of signatures for the California statewide ballot in 2002. So there was an outpouring. There was just an avalanche of political activity last week, right? As WSWS.org reports, the vast majority, what are we up to now? Almost 200, Kathy, of people, 200 people who filed as candidates. The vast majority are ordinary, working, and middle-class people who paid this $3,500 filing fee. Now, think about just taking $3,500 out of your checking account, right? Okay, well, I know for some of you that wouldn't hurt, but for most of us it would. They did this because they, these individual candidates, wanted to be heard. Now, are there some freaks and nuts and morons in here? Well, of course. It's California. Imagine if something like this were to happen in Georgia. Oh, my God. By the way, when you shoot somebody dead who happens to be drunk at 1 in the morning, who's driving his Suburban up the side of a mountain that George Bush is going to be at the next day, what do you think would the media would have done had it been during the Clinton administration? Huh? Oh, never mind. So 180 people paid $3,500, went out and got 65 supporting signatures and filed to run for governor because they wanted to be heard. Now, whatever their political confusion, whatever their motivation, whatever their belief system, most of them appear to be motivated for the most part by concern over a couple of things. The massive state budget deficit in that state, the deepening economic and social crisis in California, and the decay and corruption of the political system. Right? Now, the people who filed, the people who want to run, aside from this steroided thug Schwarzenegger and the rest of these people, for the most part, they're teachers, computer programmers, nurses, engineers, students, attorneys, artists, managers. There's a railway worker and various small businessmen. About a third of these people filed as Democrats, about a third filed as Republicans, and about a third filed as nonpartisan. Now, how is national and state media treating these people? Well, while you think about that, there are also some issues that these individuals are campaigning upon or for. Political issues like opposition to capital punishment, support for marijuana legalization, prohibition of further immigration. But the reaction of state and national media has been to deride and make fun of these candidates, portraying all of them as kooks and publicity seekers. Media have focused their attention on just a handful, like Larry Flint, my favorite pornographer, Arnold Schwarzenegger, a complete freak. Jesus, this guy's a freak. Ariana Huffington has gotten some press. Who's the little guy from a different story? Gary Coleman. Okay, these are the people the media have focused on. But what about the people who really, really believe that democracy is something they'd like to be involved in? What about them?
High places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Walmart's in hot water again with the courts, this time over allegations the company makes store security staff work long hours without overtime pay. A federal district court judge involved in the case has ordered Walmart to turn over time records for all workers at Walmart stores in Arkansas and eastern Texas. In addition, the judge selected 15 random stores where Walmart must provide more detailed timekeeping records for store security. It's the largest investigation so far into underpayment claims against Walmart, but it's only one of several pending in courts around the country.
Still no contract for workers at Goodyear. 16,000 employees of the tire maker have been working on an extended labor agreement since April, and on Saturday, negotiators with the United Steelworkers of America presented the company with a counterproposal the union hopes will protect health benefits and ensure greater job security. Goodyear is looking to cut more than $1 billion in costs over the next 2 years and wants the flexibility to move jobs overseas.
Europe's heat wave has the UK thinking about a new labor law that would give workers the day off if the mercury rises too high. A survey of 650 British businesses found more than 90% think a maximum temperature law would be a great idea. UK labor law already mandates a minimum workplace temperature. It must be at least 61 degrees for general labor and 55 degrees for strenuous activity.
36,000 Michigan employees of the retailer Meijer have a chance to vote on a new labor agreement. The United Food and Commercial Workers won a tentative contract on Friday that would maintain health care benefits for both full and part-time workers and would boost wages by 13% over the next 4.5 years. If Meijer employees approve the deal on September 2nd, they'll be among the highest paid grocery workers in the Midwest.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. So we have almost 200 people who have put together the 65 supporting signatures and somehow gotten their hands on $3,500 to file to run for governor of California if Gray Davis is removed from office in the first part of this ballot. And the vote will be, when's the vote, Kathy? In October 7th, I think. And the point that I was trying to make was simply these are people when you weed out the nuts and the kooks, and you know we all have nuts and kooks in our neighborhood, our home state, so on and so forth. But when you weed out the small percentage of people who are just in it for the hoot and not necessarily nuts and kooks. Some people, you know, different strokes for different folks, right? But for the most part, these are people who have decided to take a shot at a participatory democracy in a big, big way. Try to be governor of California because they think maybe. Now, maybe they could do something better. Now, what a radical idea. A common folk, you, me. No experience in politics. You know, you do your thing, I do mine. But the nerve of you or me to get 65 signatures and $3,500 and decide to run for the governor of California. The nerve of us, huh? That's the way national and state media are treating these people. Now, aside from, I mentioned they give a little attention to Arianna Huffington, little attention to Bill Simon, little attention to this one and that one. But Schwarzenegger, have you noticed all of a sudden media have decided, television anyway, that Arnie is to be the new governor of California? Have you noticed? A B-grade, half illiterate, yes, he is. I'm not talking about his accent. Movie actor. Is going to be, according to media, according to television, the new governor of California. Sound familiar? Huh? Remember Bush? Remember Reagan? Now, at least Reagan had a little experience. He was a spy for the FBI. He was a former Democrat who got flipped. God knows why. They must have had pictures of him and Rock Hudson doing things to each other. But he became a spy for the FBI inside my union. I wasn't born then, but you know what I'm saying. But according to national media, Arnold is the man. How many plays on his movie titles have you seen? From Total Recall to The Exterminator. Oh, you know, don't you just want to smash things up? It's good for the soul, breaking stuff. It really, that's why God created so many things, so he can smash them up. There's way too many things. So here you have national media treating the common folk, you, I know you didn't fill out the forms, I know you're not running, but you know what I'm saying. Me, of course I didn't do it. But they treat us as though we're freaks. Why? Because we want to run for governor of California. Now, amongst this group of 200, let's supposing there's somebody, let's call her Mary Smith. And Mary Smith is a businesswoman. And Mary Smith is a progressive. And Mary Smith has figured out what she thinks would be a good way to rescue California. Is Mary Smith getting any attention whatsoever? Why, hell no. Why not? Because she's Mary Smith. But Arnold is getting a lot of attention, isn't he? Now, as WSW says, this grossly dishonest portrayal of common folk who want to be governor, who want to break into the political system, who think maybe they can do better than the bought and paid for political whores and hacks that run most of this country. But no, the dishonest portrayal by media underscores this anti-democratic bias of corporate-controlled media. Well, you're going to raise your head up and you're going to run for governor? Like Nancy Skinner. Nancy Skinner's going to run for Senate from Illinois? Bang, bang, knock her down. What the hell? She's a talk show host. Mary Smith out in California is a businesswoman. How dare you? Right? Now, when a right-wing multimillionaire freak psychopath and double car thief like Daryl Issa decides to use his fortune to subvert democracy, what did he do? He pumped over $2 million to hire paid signature gatherers for the campaign to recall a governor elected less than a year ago. Then the media treats that as an exercise in grassroots activism. You notice that? You notice that too, huh? Daryl Issa, a snotty, arrogant punk, twice busted for car theft, maybe three times, makes a fortune marketing an anti-car theft device. Like they asked Willie Sutton, Willie, why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is. And this guy subverts democracy. And media say, well, look, grassroots activism, people retired of Gray Davis. That's what this is all about, Mike. What's the matter, Mike? Don't you understand, Mike? God. But when hundreds of people, normally excluded from political life by these huge financial barriers, you want to run for senator in your state? Get yourself together $10 million. You want to run for governor? Get yourself together $20 million. You want to run for president? Oh, forget it. Why? Because your name is Mary Smith. That's why. But when hundreds of people, excluded from political life by these huge financial barriers, exercise their democratic right to run for political office. I got the 65 signatures. I got the $3,500. I want to do it. The media treats them as interlopers who have no business. No business. How dare you interfere in politics? How dare you interfere in the political life of the state in which you live? Mary Smith, Nancy Skinner, whoever your name is, how dare you do that? Now sit down and shut up. Oh, but if it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, you see, he's a movie star, right? A crappy one. Oh, hell, some of the science fiction movies he's been in, he is not noticeable. I just happen to enjoy bad science fiction movies. Oh, God, I love them. I thought Total Recall was just a hoot and a half. But Schwarzenegger, it could have been Abe Snake in the role, okay? It doesn't make any difference. It was a story. So, you know, I don't want to bust up on him because he's a lousy actor. He's as far as I'm concerned, he's not an actor. He's a box office magnate. That's all. Okay. So what? All these other people. Mary Smith, you and I will never hear of. Maybe Mary Smith has the answer for the problems, economic, social, political in the state of California. We'll never know. You know why? Because Mary Smith doesn't have a chance. Not a chance. But Arnold Schwarzenegger? By virtue of what? By virtue of the fact that the media has decided that if there is to be a new governor of California, then by God, it should be Arnold. Here they go again. This is what they decided about Bush. This is what they decided about Clinton. Media in this country decided that Clinton had no business. He was a bumpkin. Ah, but he was a Rhodes Scholar bumpkin. Uh-oh, big problem. What did Sally Quinn say? The woman who slept her way into being Ben Bradley's wife, I believe, right? Washington Post. What did she say? How dare the Clintons show up with their hayseed hillbilly attitude into Washington, by God, D.C.? Spreading the odor of cow manure wherever they went. How dare they? So the Eastern political establishment and media establishment decided to eviscerate the Clintons. God. So Mary Smith out in California, or Nancy Skinner up in Illinois, or Bill Jones over here in New Mexico, or any person who's decided, hey, look, I'm a citizen, I understand this stuff, I can do this, are immediately beaten down. So let's all, the point of all this, let's all sit back on our well-upholstered asses right now, and let's all make fun of these 200 people who have decided to run for governor of California. Okay? It's great sport. Let's make fun of them. Let's pick out the one who used to be a circus performer. Let's pick out one who used to be a telemarketer, and let's make fun of them. How dare they? How dare they assume that they might have an answer? Oh, well. Tyrone is calling from Florence, Kentucky. Hey, Tyrone.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Tyrone.
I got to hand it to you, Mike. You know how to make my night sometimes. I just stay up late at night to listen to you so I can get me a good laugh.
Hey, it's not late. What are you talking about?
But either way, on this...
Wait a minute. Are you saying you're laughing at me?
Yeah.
You're laughing at me?
No, I'm laughing at some of the comments you're making about the right wing and stuff.
That's okay. All right.
Look, on this comment about Arnold Schwarzenegger, with Pappy Bush, wasn't he the fitness guru or something with Pappy Bush back here?
Right. He was like the head of the President's Council on Physical Fitness or something, yeah.
Yeah, and I've been flipping through the Internet. I don't know. I think I was flipping through some newspapers back here ever since April and May. And I've been reading, I think it was Sacramento Bee or whatever, but Arnold Schwarzenegger went to the White House sometime in April to talk to President Bush.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that story. I don't know what's up with that. Do you?
No, I've been flipping through it, but trying to get some hang of it until I was listening to you earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I heard he planned it. He was trying to do that ever since back then, And then now, what a coincidence, the president talking about going to Arizona to see the fire ravens, where the fire burn all the place out there in Arizona.
Yeah.
And then I heard he's supposed to be going over to California, but yet one of the local news said that he wasn't going to say nothing about governor recall, so I know the King George got his hands in it.
Oh, sure. Of course they do. And they use this little punk, Daryl Issa, who is a brain-dead Republican ex-car thief. Not that I have anything against car thieves, but this sucker never served any time. See, he managed to steal cars and get away with it. A lot of folks steal cars and they go to prison for 1 to 10. But Daryl Issa, who is a Republican member of Congress from California, and a former car thief and millionaire, he's the one who's committing all this mischief. He's the one. 9 months ago, the people in California said, okay, Gray Davis might be a schmuck, but we want him to be governor again. So they elected him governor. In the meantime, the Republicans are trying to destroy him with the so-called California energy crisis. We all remember that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, and like you point out, he goes to talk with George Bush, and this stupid Daryl Issa causes all the mischief out in California. Next thing you know, hey, maybe we got Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor. Now, you got to keep something in mind. You already know this. Republican political operatives hate the entire state of California because California goes Democratic, went Democratic twice for Bill Clinton. And that means that California should be sliced off the west coast of the continent and set afloat and let all the suckers die and drown. That's how badly the Republicans hate California. So this is their way. Since they can't slice off California, this is what they do.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you this, and I'm going to let you go, but also, when I was listening to your show the other night, I like to flip through the radio station. I was listening to a right-wing channel, and they were sitting there saying they finally might be able to chance, though, for Governor Bush, or no, President Bush, to get his hands on California because California was always Democratic.
Right.
And then now that's exactly what they're trying to do.
Well, yeah, and what they don't realize, if they play it straight, you know, I'm not saying Ronald Reagan played it straight, but Ronald Reagan got to be governor of California. They didn't have some freak in the White House running things. Let the people of California decide. You know, oh, well, I know what you're saying. Tyrone, thanks for checking in, man.
Yeah, Mike, and keep it real and keep on telling the truth like you're doing, man.
I absolutely will. Thanks, Tyrone. Appreciate your call. Hey, Wayne. Wayne's calling from Acworth, Georgia. Sup?
Yeah, hey, Mike. How you been, buddy?
Doing all right.
Well, I've got back onto the net, but I just can't get this laptop configured. So, as soon as I get my desktop out, I'll have it all good.
Good.
But at least I'm able to read, brother. You know, and it's really good to get back onto the net and get the information because I'm sitting here, and I just saw this, and I thought about it when I first heard about this stuff going on in California. Which, don't get me wrong, I'd love to see the people speak. As a matter of fact, I've always been a big fan of the idea of having a little bit more of a parliamentary system into our system to where if they start screwing around, you can jerk them out by their small hairs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
California, you know, the things the Democrats are not calling this Bush administration on, and California's budget deficit, it leans very heavily on Enron, Reliant, Duke Power out of North Carolina. You know, I mean, trust me, brother.
Right.
You know, I live close to one of the biggest coal burning plants there are. When they shut down one of those units, they lose $1 million a day.
Mm-hmm.
They've got four of them sitting there. They can rake the bucks. They've got the transmission lines. It was manufactured.
Oh,
and
sure.
why the spineless Democrats will not stand up and expose it for what it is. The only thing I can figure is these guys are, you know, on both sides seem to be a bit of how do I want to put this? Capitalist whores to the point, if you think back about the SNL scandals that happened on somebody else's watch and all the things that go through the cycles, you know, the 401ks, the stock market ripoff, all this on down the line. It's almost like they're trading off cards back and forth.
Well, it seems that way, but in all fairness, there are Democrats. Henry Waxman, even Gray Davis. I mean, there are Democrats who have tried to explain to the American public what happened in California vis-a-vis the so-called phonied-up manufactured energy crisis. But media, whose responsibility it is to get the word
Absolutely.
Out, will not cooperate. It is a non-story. They'd rather
Absolutely.
Talk about Clinton's penis than talk about a multi-billion dollar ripoff of the people of California and the resulting destruction of a democracy out there. They'd rather talk
Absolutely,
about Arnie.
Absolutely, Mike. And as a matter of fact, you know what my pet name for those people are? They're part of the CPP.
CPT?
CPP.
Yeah, what's that?
Yeah, Clinton's penis posse. They've been beaten on it longer than he has.
Oh, okay. God, you're not allowed to say that. Hey, Wayne, thanks for checking in.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, sir, got a boogie. Here come the music. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Well, we need you, Ken Starr.
Kenny Boy should invoke his fifth dimension rights.
Bush and Cheney's and on money, buddy. This time they went too far.
What is Enron anyway?
Remember back when they kept whining about Clinton lowered the moral bar.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if
you
don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do.
I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, Robert emails in and says, have you noticed that the one candidate the media has summarily not focused on is Cruz Bustamante, the Democratic lieutenant governor and the most mainstream high-profile Democrat on the ballot? Well, that's because, I guess, I don't know. Do you suppose media in California or national are a little upset that Cruz Bustamante has, you know, one of those names that I don't know. You know, it sounds like maybe, you know, Cruz. What does that mean? Cross? Bustamante. Eh? Big kiss? What is Bustamante? Is that it? Or is it the fact that he's a Democrat? Joe is calling from Brookings, Oregon, our bureau chief there. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, for all your listeners in California, I want to promote the candidacy of Peter Camejo of the Green Party, who got 5.5% of the vote last year, and that punk Gray Davis was going to have him arrested if he was going to participate in the one debate they had last year. Now, the deal with the state of California having their problems with Enron, that goes back to 1996 when Governor Pete Wilson and everyone in the state legislature in California all voted for deregulation of energy. And 2 years later, Nader had a proposition on the ballot to get rid of that, to have that repealed. People in California were too stupid to vote for that. And then Bush, you know, gets in the White House. But quite frankly, the way it was all set up with the energy system being deregulated, if it hadn't been Bush Jr. Causing the problems that he did for California in 2001, it would have been his brother Jeb in 2005. These are the sorts of things that always go on with deregulation of the energy industry or anything else in this country. And it's the sort of thing that will always go on. This sort of thing does not get talked about in national politics or politics at the state level.
To your knowledge, Joe, has there ever been an instance where any section of the energy industry was deregulated in this country that resulted in better service and lower prices?
Oh, hell no.
I wouldn't think.
And in California, it's illegal to put in a co-op. And I mention that because I'm calling from Brookings, Oregon, and in my backyard, we have a local co-op.
Electric co-op?
Yeah, that's right. And the service is wonderful. And when the power goes off, it doesn't go off for nearly as long as it does just over the state border.
That's because because nobody's manipulating it.
That's right.
Hey Joe, thanks. I appreciate your call, pal. Stay with us. Quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hi, truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. There was singing and dancing in the streets as a plane carrying the newly resigned president of Liberia took off from Monrovia, presumably on its way to Nigeria. Before leaving with his wife, outgoing President Charles Taylor had a few words to share.
I leave you with these parting words. God willing, I will be back. God bless you.
Diplomatic sources say Charles Taylor will live in Nigeria in exile. Earlier today, he turned over power to his deputy, Moses Blah. Taylor bowed to Washington's demand that he resign. In his resignation speech, Taylor likened himself to Christ just before the crucifixion, saying he accepts his role as a sacrificial lamb. Taylor also said his departure and the arrival of international peacekeepers marks the rebirth of Liberia. The Bush administration hopes Taylor's departure will bring peace to Liberia, which has been racked by war for nearly 14 years. Kuwait has shut its border with Iraq for the second time in as many days. The closures today and yesterday followed riots by Iraqis in the town of Safwan, just north of the border with Iraq. Sources say the rioters damaged many vehicles that belong to Kuwaitis. The rioters are protesting worsening living conditions and especially a shortage of fuel. One official says a lot of fuel is being sent from Jordan and Kuwait to Iraq, and it's supposed to be given to the Iraqis, but most of it's being stolen and smuggled to Iran instead. People running away from the riots have been allowed to enter Kuwait, but people in Kuwait have been prevented from entering Iraq. Authorities say they want to protect the people from danger.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
A spokesman for the union representing 1,000 Verizon employees in Rhode Island says he's confident differences with the company can be resolved. Following a 3-day break called by federal mediators, contract talks are due to resume in Washington, D.C. tomorrow.
I believe that the issues that face us can be overcome through compromise, through reason, and through common sense. And I am optimistic that we're going to get there.
Having said that, William McGowan with IBEW Local 2323 says a strike is an option if concerns of job security, health care, and other issues aren't resolved. Verizon's 78,000 workers have remained on the job since their contract expired August 2nd. Unions in some states have held rallies to protest the protracted negotiations.
thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
To no one's surprise, it's expensive to drive in Los Angeles. A new study reported in the Daily News says Southern Californians spend an average of $8,104 a year to drive and maintain a car. The study says residents spend more on car payments, insurance, oil changes, and other car-related expenses than health care and food combined. The study was released by the Washington, D.C.-based Surface Transportation Policy Project and the Transportation and Land Use Collaborative of Southern California. The report says transportation costs here, combined with a 37.8% of income that residents spend on housing, consumes more than half a household's budget. It was an up day on Wall Street today. Tech stocks snapped a six-session losing streak, and blue chips were up. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 26 points to 92.17. The NASDAQ added 17 to 16.62. The S&P 500 was up 3 to 9.81. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the family photo album. Always keep a camera handy to capture those special Kodak moments. Like senior proms, graduations, weddings, traffic accidents. Traffic accidents? Why? When I come back, I'll give you a snapshot. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. Now, don't get bent out of shape when I advise taking pictures of your car that's bent out of shape in an accident. When accidents occur, emotions run high and details are overlooked, like traffic and road conditions. And those involved don't always see or remember the same thing. What's at stake? Who pays, of course? Keeping an inexpensive disposable camera in your car ready to capture the moment is no accident. One of these pictures could be worth a thousand words and a lot of dollars, too. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800 Talk Yes is the number if you'd like to join in here. I think we mentioned this last week. I think we did, about Ashcroft. But before I get to that, more from Bush's economic plan. Did you see this? The Bush administration, according to New York Times last week, is going to propose significant cuts in Medicare payments for cancer drugs. Cancer drugs. Medicare. Now, who gets Medicare? That's right. Old people. And why do old people need cancer drugs?
Because old people are the ones that get cancer the most.
That's right. And are cancer drugs expensive?
Yes, they are. They are very expensive.
And is it the a function of a civilized society to take care of its old people by providing what we call Medicare benefits to help them?
Yes, it is, Mike. It absolutely is.
then why would the Bush administration be proposing significant cuts in Medicare payments for cancer drugs?
Well, Mike, that's the easiest question you've asked me so far. There just isn't enough money. And besides, cancer patients, old people, they'll soon be dead. Don't you understand? They'll never make it to the next election. So might as well dump on them. You know, poor people, babies, children, and old people with cancer. We have to be able to pay for these tax cuts for the wealthy somehow, Mike. Don't you understand?
Oh.
Doctors who could lose income under this proposal by the Bush administration to cut Medicare payments for cancer drugs, the doctors and patients' advocates said the cuts could harm cancer care. Yeah, I would think. Patients' advocates. You know what that is? A doctor does not have the time to sit and counsel and advise the patient, answer the questions. So whatever differential, and what the Bush administration is claiming, you see, and if you're a doctor and you vote Republican, well, okay. But this, I hate to be crass, but your income is tied up in this. The reason the Bush administration is proposing these cuts, they say, is because the wholesale price of cancer drugs is less, much less, than what Medicare pays for those drugs. Therefore, subtract A from B, you get C. So the Bush administration says, well, wait a second. There's all this money floating out there in a cancer slush fund that we could be using to pay off our wealthy contributors. So let's cut the amount of money paid by Medicare for cancer drugs. Let's cut it. Now, here's the truth. The truth is that, yes, there is some slack. There is some difference. But what do the oncologists use the extra money for? Well, patients' advocates, nurses, technicians, people to handle the infusions of these drugs. For all cancers combined, the median age at diagnosis is 68. About 60% of all cancers are diagnosed in people 65 or older. The Bush crime family says it does not believe that its proposals to cut the amount of money Medicare has to buy cancer drugs would make it harder for Medicare beneficiaries to obtain cancer treatment. No, of course not, because we say it won't. Savings to the government would total between $4 and $19 billion over 10 years, depending on how tightly they oversee the new program. $4 and $19 billion. Now, Bush's tax cuts for the wealthy totaled so far, the two cuts, about $4 trillion. But $4 to $19 billion over a 10-year period is too much for old people who have cancer. Have I said tonight yet that I hate these people? No? Let me say it now. Unbelievable. So the proposal now from the compassionate conservatives in the Bush administration is to cut the amount of money Medicare will pay for cancer drugs. Not only was this in the New York Times, but also it was a segment on NPR last week on All Things Considered in the afternoon. And they had doctors on who said, look, if Medicare reimburses me $10 for a drug that I could purchase for $7, there's a $3 differential. What do you think I do with that $3? Do you think I put it in my pocket? I may put a dollar of it in my pocket. Is that okay? The other $2, what I do is use it for patient advocacy, patient care, patient assistance. I use it to hire technicians. I use it to hire people to run the infusion machines, to do the follow-up work, to do the evaluations. That's what I use it for. So what's going to happen if the Bush crime family pulls this one off? There's going to be a lot of people who simply will not be able to get their cancer treatment. Think about that for a second. Have you had a family member who has had cancer? Have you had cancer? Are you dealing with cancer now? Some of our listeners are. I watched my brother deal with advanced metastasized colon cancer until it killed him. It is not pleasant to experience.
nor is it pleasant to watch. But the Bush crime family has no problem in suggesting that the payments through Medicare for people who are getting cancer drugs are too high. The payments are too high. So cut this. The military budget is not too high. We are talking a maximum of $19 billion over 10 years, according to the Bush crime family's own figures. That's $1.9 billion a year. How many... Right. Why even bother saying it? How many attack aircraft can you buy for $1.9 billion? What was the defense, quote, budget this year? Half a trillion? But there's not money, you see, in the Bush crime family's compassionate conservatism for Medicare payments for cancer drugs. Now, who do you suppose will tell the Medicare recipient? It'll come in the form of a letter, won't it? Dear Mr. Jones, just like the Bush crime family is working on freedom and justice in Iraq, huh? Just like the Bush crime family appreciates the sacrifices of all the American families who are sacrificing the lives of their children so that Bush can make money and his cronies can make money, so too will the letter from Medicare say, we're sorry, but you know, there just isn't enough money to pay for your cancer drugs any longer. We're sorry. Have a pleasant death. You might want to try fundamentalist Christianity. That'll help you get through the rough spots. It's just incredible, isn't it? Just incredible. It's heartbreaking. It is. It's heartbreaking. I watched my brother use up every single asset he had. He was a single father, had a 9-year-old. Raising his child until he finally wound up on Medicaid. And then he died. And he was 42. So here we have the Bush. I say that not to evoke sympathy. It happens in all of our families. It may happen to me. It may happen to you. Cancer is an equal opportunity disease. But I say it for that very reason. It is so common. We live in a cancer ward. America is a cancer ward. We know this. We understand what we've done environmentally. We understand what we've done with our food and our water and our air. We are riddled with cancer. But I mentioned my own personal experience, and I'm sure you've had personal experience. Most of you have. Because it is a devastating thing to deal with. And now the Bush crime family wants to take resources from old people. Jesus Christ Almighty, old people. Old people. Medicare. Nice work, George. Way to go. Robin, we're going to bump you up the head of the line because you want to talk about what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do, Mike. Good evening.
Hey.
You kind of reminded me of something I saw earlier today about the $1.8 billion that are missing from the VA budget.
Oh, yeah.
For treatment of, you know, those good-for-nothing old people that, you know,
yeah,
served in World War II.
Yeah.
To hell with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And not just World War II, but stop the onslaught of global communism in Korea.
Sure.
Yeah, to hell with them.
And what's particularly galling about this, I actually followed it close enough to find the numbers. There's a certain subsegment of veterans, something eight. The numeral eight. I forget the formal term for it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is that group of veterans, that group of wealthy veterans. You know, those wealthy veterans who make $25,000 a year.
Ooh.
Who are utterly and absolutely denied any sort of VA coverage.
Mm-hmm. Because they make such an enormous amount of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of doubles back on itself. You know, this is cancer. This is cancer from Agent Orange. know, this is anything that that doubles back on a medical or a military inflicted injury.
Sure.
And these guys are just sick. I mean, there's no end of it, Mike.
Why is the accepted belief fantasy that the military supports a punk ass like George Bush, who not only is a coward, not only deserted, but does everything in his power to destroy whatever safety net American veterans have? Why is he perceived as being a friend of the military? He hates the military.
Well, the funny thing, Mike, is that the veterans don't feel that way. Yeah, there's a lot of rah-rah in the active military right now. Even that's dying down, if you follow, like you were talking about Colonel Hackworth.
Right.
But, you know, veterans like my 78-year-old dad and his brother and his generation, frankly, wouldn't pee on George Bush if he was on fire.
I hear that. Hey, thanks for checking in, Robin.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great night.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Sick man looking for the doctor's cure. Looking at hands for the lines that were. And if they ever masterpiece of literature, for dignity. English book stranded in a black hot wind.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, "At a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore"? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, "To people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Well, imagine my surprise to get a personal letter from Dick Cheney. "Dear Mr. Hightower," Dick began, "I write to invite you to join the President and Mrs. Bush for a private dinner here in Washington, D.C. Hey, I'm down for that. There's a lot I'd like to say to George W. Dick goes on to say, "A special place of honor has already been reserved for you to recognize your steadfast support of President Bush." Whoa now, that's when I got suspicious, because one thing I'd definitely not been is a steadfast supporter of King George the W and his autocratic, plutocratic court of corporate greedheads. Maybe my special place of honor was to serve as the entree at Bush's dinner. Whatever. Dick said I could get in for only $2,500. Due to a chronic shortfall in my bank account, however, I passed. But I know I would have enjoyed chit-chatting with the CEOs and lobbyists for Chevron, Microsoft, Philip Morris, and other corporations that pitched in $250,000 apiece to mingle at George's Golden Gala. These corporate giants happen to have pending issues before the Bush White House, but I'm sure this has nothing to do with their generosity. A record $30 million was raised from these special interests, most of it in the form of notoriously corrupt soft money. This is a bit ironic, since Bush signed a law banning such contributions only a few weeks ago. But conveniently, he and the Democrats delayed implementation of the ban until after this fall's elections. Still, Cheney's letter said that if I couldn't shell out for the dinner, for only $150, I could get a set of three limited edition photos of the Prez in action, including a candid shot of George aboard Air Force One talking to Cheney by telephone on September 11th. Now, this really is ironic, for you'll recall that this was the day that George was afraid to return to Washington, instead hopping around the country on Air Force One and leaving Cheney in charge. This is Jim Hightower saying, now that's a picture worth a thousand words.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 24 past the hour. 800-TALK-HISS is the number. Neil is calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Neil.
Hi, Mike. I talked to you a week ago last Friday about cancer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thought I ought to weigh in here since I'm 61 years old, a veteran, and I have cancer.
Well, you hit the trifecta.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Oh, my gosh.
I have really mixed emotions about this. It does show where the Bush crime family is at in terms of compassion.
Right.
You may recall, though, I mentioned that I was using alternative means to fight my cancer.
Right. And that's that can be a very good thing for,
mm-hmm.
for people who can do that.
Well, it struck me, you know, that, well, I encountered a study done at the University of California, Berkeley, and Davis campuses where they discovered that people who were completely untreated for their cancer tend to live four times as long as people who were taking these drugs.
I know the drugs are very toxic. I'd be interested in seeing that study. If you could send me a link, I'd love to see it.
It's been a long time since I saw it. I'll try to look it
up
for you.
Okay, you might be able to find it.
I can give you my website URL. I have some information on my particular case of cancer.
Sure, what is
doing
it?
To fight it. It's www.sumeria, S-U-M-E-R-I-A.
S-U-M-E-R-I-A. Okay, Sumeria.
Like in ancient kingdom of Sumeria.
Right.
.net.
.net, okay.
And I have a lot of alternative cancer information on the website.
Okay, well, maybe some people listening would like to see what you've got
up
there.
Yeah, well, from one angle, Bush crime family may be doing these people a favor and may be forcing them to turn towards alternatives.
If the problem I have with that, take somebody who's 75,
mm-hmm.
who is not computer literate, who doesn't have
right.
anybody in the family. And since they're not computer literate, maybe they can't get the information for alternative treatments or alternative therapies. And they genuinely believe that the drug therapy they're getting is helping them. You know, and I know that there's an awful, and because I'm sure we've had both of us experiences this way. If you believe something is going to work, the so-called placebo effect, in so many instances it will work.
Yes, that's correct.
Either to a greater degree or it will work or not work, period. So a lot of folks who are taking traditional chemical treatments for cancer, and I happen to agree with you. I think a point will come in the future of medicine where we will look back on surgery, radiation, and chemicals as the three standard treatments for against cancer as being barbaric,
right.
Absolutely barbaric. But that's what so many people deal with now, and for those people who are not computer literate or don't understand alternative medicine, have no access to it.
Yeah, that is correct.
You know, they rely on whatever drug that they're getting, and they rely on the medical center they go to, and the technician who handles the infusion, and the doctor who comes to see them, and the medical assistant that keeps track of their blood pressure and their pulse while they're getting the medication, and what the Bush crime family wants to do is to jerk that all away.
Yeah, it's terrible.
These people are just so bad. Neil, they're just, why do that? Why not just cut $1.9 billion a year? That's the maximum of what they're talking about over 10 years. $1.9 billion from weapons manufacture. Exactly. Why not do that?
Well, I'm up in arms over this $14.6 billion they're cutting the VA over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And I have to say the Albuquerque VA hospital has been very supportive of me.
That's good.
They were quite surprised when they laid out their what they were had planned for me and, you know, included surgery and radiation mostly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I turned them down.
And they were supportive.
They are still supportive. They're working with me on a, you know, observation
That's
only
good.
Protocol.
That's great.
And
That's
they have
great.
A funny look on their face every time I walk in because I was supposed to be dead a year.
Yeah, I hear that. Always surprises them. Neil, thanks for checking in on this.
You bet, Mike. Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Human relationship with dolphins is a study in extremes. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. As a whole, people like dolphins, some of nature's most intelligent and charismatic animals. Brenda Peterson is co-editor with Tony Frohoff of Between Species, a new book about human-dolphin interactions. Peterson says dolphins intrigue us because they're a lot like us.
They have big brains that are even larger than the human brain. They spend three-quarters of their lives at play, and their communication skills and their very sophisticated societies, their family pods, are very similar to the humans as well.
Researchers have found that dolphins can learn to read complex visual cues, demonstrating an understanding of symbolic language. And in the wild, dolphins don't mind swimming alongside boats or coming in close to check out snorkelers or scuba divers. Peterson says that adds to our fascination with dolphins. They don't flee from people the way most wild animals do.
And they always seem curious about humans, which is very unusual for a wild species.
But there's a dark side to the relationship. Humans are the leading cause of death among dolphins. Peterson cites a recent report by the World Wildlife Fund about the lethal impact of the fishing industry.
Nearly 1,000 whales and dolphins and porpoises drown every day after becoming tangled in fishing nets and other equipment.
Peterson says dolphins and other marine mammals are increasingly under assault from toxic chemicals, noise pollution, and fishing nets. She says in spite of our sense of wonder at these animals, we've become their worst enemies. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on!
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. JB just sent this to me. I saw this. I tried to capture it off the, I don't know, wherever I saw it today and missed it. Thanks, JB. This is about a retired school teacher, Faith Fippinger, who went to Iraq. She's a U.S. citizen. Went to Iraq to serve as a human shield, so-called, against the U.S. invasion. She's now facing thousands of dollars in government fines. She's refusing to pay. She may go to prison. Bush's Department of Treasury sent her a letter a couple of months ago telling her that she broke the law by crossing the Iraqi border before the war. She was told that her travel to Iraq violated U.S. sanctions that prohibited American citizens from engaging in, quote, virtually all direct or indirect commercial, financial, or trade transactions with Iraq, end quote. So that means Dick Cheney's Halliburton company is also subject to the same laws? No, I guess not. But this retired school teacher, she's 61 years old. She spent about 3 months there in Iraq. She is being fined at least $10,000. She refuses to pay. She could face 12 years in prison. Now, when Dick Cheney or the Carlyle Group want to do business in Iraq, whether there's sanctions, imminent war, during the war, post-war, before the war, after the war, over the war, under the war, it matters not. They just do it. But this woman is accused of involving herself in commercial, financial, or trade transactions with Iraq. She would now you want to know why? Because she and several dozen other human shields scattered themselves around an oil refinery in Baghdad. That means they were engaged in direct or indirect commercial, financial, or trade transactions with Iraq. Can you believe this? Huh? Can you believe this? Of course you can. In her response to the charges, she wrote to the Bush crime family, quote, if it comes to fines or imprisonment, please be aware that I will not contribute money to the United States government to continue the buildup of its arsenal of weapons. She suggested that since she won't pay, perhaps the alternative should be considered. 12 years in prison for a woman 61 years old. Hmm? Don't you love the Bush crime family? On the one hand, they take away cancer treatment from old folks. On the other hand, if there's a healthy old person who decides to go, 61's not old, what the hell am I talking about? If there's a healthy middle-aged person who wants to go to Iraq and protest Bush's bloody, filthy war, she may wind up in prison for the next 12 years if she can't pay a $10,000 fine. Now, if Ms. Fippinger does not pay the fine, the fine will increase. This is like when you owe money to IRS. Huh? Have you ever been there? I have. It gets worse and worse. If Fippinger does not pay, the fine may increase and the money will be drawn from her retirement paycheck or her Social Security check or any of her assets, according to officials in the filthy, murderous Bush crime family. Oh, the government is also, the Bush crime family has also asked Mrs. Fippinger to detail her travels to Iraq and any financial transactions she made. In her response, she wrote that the only money she spent was on food and emergency supplies. Well, if you bought food, ma'am, are you not involved in a direct commercial transaction with Iraq? Yes, you are. Taylor Griffin, a Treasury Department spokesman for the Bush thugs, said she was in Iraq in violation of U.S. sanctions. That's what happens. That's what happens. She'll go to prison or she'll pay. That's what happens. Okay? I don't know. I guess it's... You know, this is going to turn me into a raving communist. Huh? this kind of stuff. Oh, my God. It astonishing, isn't it? Astonishing. 62. 62-year-old woman. A human shield. Charged with engaging directly or indirectly, in commercial transactions with Iraq and is now facing 12 years in prison or a $10,000 fine. The fine will increase. And the U.S. Treasury says, well, that's what happens. That's what happens. Dear God. Robert is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you. This whole cancer thing, if I could digress for a moment, is really sick because there's another diabolical trifecta that the Bush family hits with this evil proposal. In addition to, number one, cutting down on entitlements and making war on government programs that benefit the public, they, number two and three, reward their contributors in the insurance and pharmaceutical industries. Because what will happen, of course, if you know the laws of supply and demand, is that when the payments are cut, both the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies will attempt to pass that full amount on to someone else, but will use it as an excuse to raise their prices, which continues to fuel the upward spiral of insurance and drug costs.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no end to these people.
It's just astonishing. It's just astonishing. And how many older people who consider themselves to be conservative are going to vote for this monster? How many vets are going to vote for this monster? How many school teachers are going to vote for this monster? How many blue collar workers who have seen their jobs just dissolve, shredded by this crime family is going to vote for? I don't get it, Robert. I just don't. We can't be as a society this broadly stupid, can we?
Well, so much of it has to do with the press, and in with the lack of a press. I mean, it stands to people like you and I to use the other means to spread the word, and I guess that kind of brings us to the other thing I wanted to talk about, which was that we must never forget, and we must constantly talk about the facts of September 11th.
Yeah.
About a week ago, you played a clip again of Bush talking about how he had seen the first plane crash into the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
What is really sick is, and, you know, as you know, truth is stranger than fiction, that there really is a way that he could have seen that happen. If you do the research yourself, if you pull up various publications or you go to some of the people who have done it, like cooperativeresearch.org is a good one, you find a range of media sources that place Bush's motorcade on its way to Booker Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that plane hit. Washington Times, Sarasota Magazine, Christian Science Monitor, Albuquerque Tribune, MSNBC, and CBS all place him on his way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you know, any vehicle that the president is in is sufficiently connected to the world so that he can make decisions on the fly.
Right.
And, you know, whatever plane he's in is Air Force One and so on. You know he's got satellite television in that vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Ari Fleischer and I believe Karl Rove as well as a congressman knew within minutes of the crash that it had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a foolish boy, a fool, to recall a partial memory and to try to piece it together in a way just like that. Like I say, it is entirely possible that he was actually sitting there on the television watching it happen.
It's very hard for me to handle that thought and retain anything that resembles my sanity or my faith in this country, because if I accept that or if I think about it, it's in the back of my mind. I just keep it shut down. I keep the door shut on that thought.
Right.
Because if I accept that, then I've got to really accept the fact, and I'm getting closer and closer to it, that members of the Bush administration were active participants, not just in post-911 chaos in this country, but and not just the lead-up to the assault on this country, but also in possibly a passive way, the planning and execution of what happened in this country. And if I'm to believe that we had an executive branch of our government who participated, even passively, in the murder of 3,000 people and the subsequent destruction of two countries and our own constitution, then I'll have to flee the country. I have to flee this country. I have to leave this country, give up my citizenship, and go work from outside this country to overthrow the government of the United States of America and reestablish democracy. That's how bad that is for somebody like me and somebody like you, for a lot of people.
I don't want to believe it either, Mike. But what we have been confronted with in the form of this administration, rather, is a group of people who are so utterly ruthless that we are reduced to reducing everything down to what is possible. And we have been reduced to a point where we can't accept anything as truth other than what we can get evidence on. And if it takes investigating things all the way down to the bare bone, then that's what it's going to take before America can be restored.
I hope that such investigations can occur. You know, we spent $70 million investigating whether or not Bill Clinton cheated on a land deal. In 1995, a special prosecutor engaged in that investigation said there was no there. Mm-hmm. And the investigation then it expanded out to include taxpayer money spent on whether or not Bill Clinton had girlfriends. $70 million, a special prosecutor's report that was endless, that was by any definition, if not titillating, certainly, or if not pornographic, certainly titillating. Just incredible stuff. And yet we refuse to investigate George W. Bush. We refuse. Nobody will do it. Nobody. Nobody.
We're so afraid of the truth, but
I guess that's it.
The wound has to be lanced before it infects the whole body.
I hear that. Hey, listen, thanks, Robert.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. You know, it gets so frustrating. It really does. You know, thank God for the weekends, right? Because on the weekends, you don't have to think about this. If you stay away from television, you don't have to think about this. But it gets so bad that, you know, when you think about, when one thinks about what is going on, the tentacles of the Bush administration, the Ashcroft Justice Department, the Colin Powell State Department, the Rumsfeld Defense Department, the Carlyle Group, PNAC. You know, when you take a look at this, you just want to shriek and run. Ashcroft has ordered U.S. attorneys across the country to report to him cases in which federal judges impose lighter sentences than called for in the federal sentencing guidelines. He wants to blacklist judges in this country. John Ashcroft is a religious psychopath who wants to destroy our system of justice. The Ashcroft memo, according to the Washington Post, amended a section of the U.S. Attorney's Manual that previously had said federal prosecutors had to report to the department only those sentences that prosecutors had objected to and wanted to appeal. That's all. If a prosecutor was seeking 10 years and the judge says, I'll give you probation, the prosecutor under those guidelines could notify the Justice Department, hey, look, we got a judge out here who is using his version of jury nullification. Check it out. Not anymore. Not anymore. Ashcroft wants, even if the prosecutors say, okay, I'm satisfied with the three-year sentence, even though the sentencing guidelines called for 10, I'm satisfied with three. I've been a minor pot bust. Okay, let it go. Ashcroft now wants to know who these judges are. He has ordered U.S. attorneys to report all what are called downward departure sentencing decisions. Downward from the sentencing guidelines. According to the Washington Post, Ashcroft's critics, well, I guess that would be everybody in America, wouldn't it? Reacted angrily to the memo, which was first reported by the Wall Street Journal. Ed Kennedy accused Ashcroft of engaging in, quote, an ongoing attack on judicial independence. and of requiring federal prosecutors to, quote, participate in the establishment of a blacklist of judges who impose lesser sentences than those recommended by the guidelines. Now, what Ashcroft is trying to do here, these are people who believe in Deuteronomy. These are people who believe in biblical sentencing. Your child mocks you, kill him! Your daughter gets pregnant, she's raped, kill her! These are crazy people. These are crazy people. Some federal judges have spoken out, according to the Washington Post, against what many of them see as a Justice Department assault on their independence. Look, the Bush crime family, and especially a murderous, insane man like Ashcroft, they don't want any sort of checks and balances. No independence. This is Nazism in full flower. Do you understand this, truth seeker? Do you understand what this article published last Thursday in the Washington Post is all about? Ashcroft wants the names of those judges who decide to exercise judicial independence in sentencing. Now, why is this important? I'll probably have to tell you after the next break, because it involves the nephew of then Attorney General designate John Ashcroft, who received probation after a felony conviction for growing 60 marijuana plants with intent to distribute the drug. Huh? Stick around.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Tom Hartman Show.
Bill
Gold in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board. The doorbell rang, and I answered the door. Just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush, what a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country, one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We'll wait till after the break at the top of the hour and finish up the story about Ashcroft and his nephew. Actually, it's a couple of his nephews because it includes Alex Ashcroft, who is M25, and his brother Adam, who is 19. And I want you to see the hypocrisy. Not that you need to see it again, but you kind of do on this one. Mike is calling from Milwaukee. Mike, welcome to the program. This your first time calling?
Hello.
Hey. First time calling, right?
No.
No?
I think I've called before, but maybe your show the first time.
Well, welcome aboard.
Yeah, have you covered? I heard this recently in a couple sources, but I wanted to know the origin of it. The fact that as Bush was asking us to support the troops, i.e., the war,
mm-hmm.
His war. He was proposing to cut $25 billion from the Veterans Administration for over the next 10 years, and I heard also $125 million in a year, that the money that goes to helping to feed children of vets that are overseas. And then also he instructed the VA not to provide information to veterans so that they can take advantage of services that are available and legally a right of theirs to take advantage of. And I'm wondering, have you heard that? Have you covered it? And do you know what sources? And is this in a proposed bill by the president or what?
Well, all three of those different instances you just mentioned, yes, I've heard about. I don't have specifics on them. One of the ones that we covered was the ending of government subsidies to school districts that were heavily... military school districts. When you have military installations, for example, like Tidewater, Virginia, which is Norfolk, Chesapeake, that whole area down there, where you have all sorts of military bases, naval bases, you don't have industry. And industry, since there's no industry, there's no tax base. So what the federal government has done for decades is to provide tax breaks and direct payments to these school districts, because the school districts have as their student body the children of military people. And what Bush has done has been to cut these subsidies to these school districts. So while a 25-year-old with maybe a first grader in school is over dying so that George Bush and his cabal can make more money from oil, his child back in the United States is being denied a proper education. It's insane. Mike, let me put you on hold. We have a break here. I'll come back and we'll finish this up in a second. All right, stick around, folks. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Pakistani military officials say American troops mistakenly opened fire on a Pakistani patrol near the Afghan border today. A senior Pakistani official says the Americans mistook the Pakistanis for Al-Qaeda or Taliban fighters. Two Pakistani soldiers were killed and one was wounded. Pakistani military officials say they've protested to the U.S. So far, there's been no comment from American officials. Aided by a U.S.-led coalition, Pakistani forces and Afghan soldiers patrol their own sides of the border. It runs along a remote tribal belt thought to be the hiding place for the remnants of the Taliban regime and Al-Qaeda network. Hollywood action hero turned California gubernatorial hopeful Arnold Schwarzenegger was in the Big Apple today. He spoke to kids from the inner city after school's programs for disadvantaged youth at the City College of New York. CCNY students like Athea say they were impressed by Terminator's speech and would vote for him if they had the chance.
Because he's an action figure, you know. I like the way how he'd be like, I'll be back, and, you know, he go get the bad guy and everything. But besides the point, I thought he was, you know, terrific and everything. You know, he gave an open speech about the children. It was just beautiful.
Dozens of media outlets turned out for the event, and Arnold joked about the coverage the charity event inspired. Schwarzenegger made no specific references to his candidacy in the California campaign, but he told the kids to have big dreams and encouraged the group to make those dreams come true.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patented active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
Houston firefighters are taking their case for a new contract to the public. Over the weekend, the firefighters started going door-to-door in an attempt to have collective bargaining placed on the upcoming November ballot. Johnny Villarreal with the Houston Firefighters Union says this far the public has been very supportive to the firefighters' cause.
The response has been excellent at the residents that have been at their house, and we're going to continue through this week. And for the next 3 or 4 weekends in the city of Houston, we're going to walk out there and be knocking on all our neighbors' houses and going from house to house to all our registered voters in the city of Houston.
The firefighters must collect 20,000 signatures by the end of the month in order to get the measure placed on the ballot. Villarreal says by being able to collectively bargain with the city, they will not have to go to City Hall every time they have a concern that needs to be addressed. In addition, collective bargaining would ensure that the firefighters would never again have to go through such a long period without a contract in place.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Army spokesman Mike Abrams says the starting phase proved successful at the Army Chemical Weapons Incinerator in Anniston, Alabama. 10 M-55 rockets dating back to the Cold War were burned over the weekend despite public outcry from residents living near the incinerator. Abrams says the operation will continue as planned.
In the future, we will work up to a very flowing but safe processing schedule. Right now, we're going very, very slowly and very, very deliberately.
Abrams says the incinerator will eventually burn as many as 40 rockets per hour. Wall Street starting off the week on a positive note. Tech stocks snapped a 6-session losing streak and blue chips gained as investors await the Fed policy meeting tomorrow. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 26 points to 92.17. The NASDAQ added 17 to 16.62. The S&P 500 was up by 3 to 9.81. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. You do it every day. Some are nice and firm, some sort of flabby, others very loose. I'm talking about, you know, handshakes. There's an automotive handshake you should know, too. When I come back, I'll introduce you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and Christian Fittipaldi. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Dodge, Ford, but they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
Like people, a handshake with a particular part of your car can tell you a lot. Drivers, let me introduce your exhaust system. Now, reach out and shake your tailpipe. That's right, your tailpipe. Like the name implies, it's the end of your exhaust system, which includes your muffler and catalytic converter. If your tailpipe wiggles, you can bet there's a loose connection or rusted bracket, which means your muffler isn't far from being highway litter. So save yourself noise, fumes, and expense. Give your tailpipe a shake. I'm Bobby Likas, brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. All right, we're in the middle of a conversation here with Mike, who's called in from Milwaukee about Bush gutting vets' benefits. And like I said, those instances you mentioned, Mike,
Yeah.
I have no doubt that those are just SOP for the Bush crime family. And again, the story that we did report on, I think extensively, was this cutting of education, necessary education, you know, for classrooms, for books, because there's no tax base. When you have the military reservations, several of them, in one metro area, it cuts way back on the tax base.
You know, I helped a Korean vet a few years ago. He was a pedestrian and was hit by a car and was in the hospital for about a year recuperating with bone grafts and skin grafts. And he was a veteran, and trying to help him while he was in the hospital, just navigating through the VA bureaucracy and the Social Security bureaucracy to get money that was coming to him and the services was just difficult enough. And now that the Bush family is trying to is ordering the VA personnel to withhold information of services, it's going to make it just impossible for the vets to get the services that they've earned. And I just think you were talking about elderly dying because of the cost of prescription drugs. You're talking now about vets that will be dying because of lack of information and of medical services. And I think this is indespicable.
It's awful, but it is the Bush crime family. And that's the part I don't understand, is why so many people within the military seem to think that George Bush is, for lack of a better term, on their side. He's not. He doesn't give a damn if they all die. Hey, thanks for checking in, Mike. I hope you call again. Take care. Oh, another quick signer offer like Joe. Sean is calling from, and I can't say where, and you're using a different name. That's not your real name, right, Sean?
Correct.
Okay. Tell us why you called in.
Well, I'm currently serving in the U.S. Army, and I'm stuck in this kind of void where I can't say anything about a certain His Majesty, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm not using my real name. I'm actually calling from a base, and, you know, an ounce of paranoia is worth a pound of imprisonment, I guess.
Boy, you got that right. No, I appreciate your request and your decision for anonymity.
All right. Well, what I wanted to talk about was, have you seen this ad on TV about the with all the American flags sticking out of the doors? Terrorists tried to change America forever on 9/11, and they succeeded, that type of thing?
Probably not the specific ad you're talking about, but I'm very familiar with the style, yes.
Yeah. Basically, I've been hearing all this stuff, and I was hearing it after 9/11. Was hearing it, I've been hearing it ever since then, about how basically the terrorists can't change our spirit, can't destroy our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to me like the terrorists have really actually destroyed our spirit. Because the American spirit isn't about a colorful rag blowing in the wind. The American spirit is about freedom and exchange of ideas. And,
sure.
Take a look at all of our documents. All they talk about is freedom, liberty, and justice for all and all that good stuff that everyone thinks is great.
Mm-hmm.
This Patriot Act crap going on is, pardon my language, this Patriot Act stuff going on, it seems to me like they pretty much destroyed that spirit of freedom and free speech.
I agree.
So that was a comment that I wanted to make.
Let me ask you, do other people in that you come in contact with in the military share similar opinions of...
Some, very few. I mean, it's difficult to talk about that type of thing, especially when you consider a lot of these people are brainwashed, of course. You know,
sure.
We've been trained to go to war. That's what we've been trained for since
sure.
we first joined up, and that's basically what our job is. Usually they keep us busy doing inane stuff like cutting grass and cleaning latrines and that type of thing. So when the chance comes to actually go and do something, it's like, wow, we get to go and
mm-hmm.
shoot people or something like that.
Well,
so there are a few. I've met some I have some friends that I've met while I've been in.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine just recently actually considered deserting over the whole Afghanistan thing because they were talking about sending him over there. Fortunately, he didn't get sent. He's probably going to be getting help very soon, you know, without any, you know, mm-hmm. danger. They can kick you out for a lot of reasons, but he's getting out honorably and so on. It's very difficult for me to talk about this kind of thing with people around because I don't know who, you know, basically they can really screw me if they just don't like me.
Oh, sure, sure. You know, a lot of people, too. You may be, are you regular Army? Are you Reserve? Are you National Guard?
Regular Army.
A lot of people who are serving right now, who are in combat areas, Afghanistan, the Middle East, our reservists, our National Guardsmen, our National Guard women,
oh, yes.
who raised their hand and took the oath for education benefits, for medical benefits, for housing benefits, and now they're in a combat zone. Now,
one thing about that, though, is when I raised my hand and took the oath, it was for educational benefits and for high-tech training, basically. That's why I did it. I mean, but the thing of it is, I knew that the time could come that I could be called to go to combat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was okay with that at the time. You know, I was like, what are the odds? You know, we haven't had a real war in like 10 years. What are the odds that I'm actually going to wind up in a combat zone?
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, and I hate to say fortunately because I actually injured myself fairly badly, fortunately I injured myself enough where I didn't have to go to Iraq. Otherwise, I'd be there right now.
Is there ever any discussion among you and your mates of how the Bush administration is gutting vets' benefits, or are you guys young enough that you really don't care about that stuff?
Well, for the most part, there's no discussion about that. There's very little discussion about His Majesty himself, you know,
mm-hmm.
among the common soldiery, except when we get a raise.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're like, okay, he's all right. But, you know, that doesn't fool me, but a lot of people it does.
What about
thing,
go ahead, I'm
with
sorry.
Vets benefits that concerns me is I'm going to be, you know, I've injured myself and I'm probably going to be getting out of the Army. And that kind of concerns me now that I think about it,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I don't know what's going to be there when I get out.
How about talking about Rumsfeld? I understand chain of command. You especially in these times to openly diss the so-called commander in chief is a super no-no. But what's his name? Rumsfeld is not in that chain of command. He's a civilian.
Yes, yes. Oh yes, he is. He's in the chain of command.
Well, but I mean what I mean is he's a civilian. He and Bush.
Yes, however, he is directly below the president on my chain of command.
All right.
So I can't say very much about him either. I mean, I really wish that I could say what I truly feel about him. The only thing that I can really do derogatorily is joke around and call the president His Majesty and so on and so forth. I really take that to heart when I say it.
Mm-hmm.
People think I'm joking around
mm-hmm.
when I say it, but I really take that to heart when I say it because, I mean, he is a king by all, you know,
sure.
by all the definitions of kings that I've ever seen, he
sure.
pretty much has absolute power. He pretty much obtained his office by right of birth, by divine right, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he didn't get elected. I mean, I read Stupid White Men like about 6 months ago, and I was
right.
just shocked because I had no idea. I was in the middle of basic training when the election went on.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea what was going on. I didn't get any news. We weren't allowed to any media during that time
right.
at all.
Right.
And when I got out of basic, and you know, I even spent a year in Korea. And when I got back, I read this book that this friend of mine suggested that I read.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just shocked by what happened with that whole election scene.
Mm-hmm.
I started talking to my sister, who's, I always call her a bleeding heart jokingly, but basically that's what she is, and I, God bless her for that. But I talked to her about it, and she gave me a lot of information that just stunned me.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe that the abuse of power that was going on.
I'm curious how you heard about this program, Sean.
Well, I was browsing the Internet, actually. I have iTunes on my computer, and I was checking out the radio station, and it said talk radio from a different perspective. I clicked on it, and there you were.
Do you listen? You're not stationed on a base right now, are you? Or do you have off-base housing? You're on base?
I'm on base.
Is your Internet access monitored?
I get it through a civilian provider, but I'm not sure that it is or isn't. You know, we never know nowadays exactly what's going on. I'm pretty low on the food chain, so I don't think they'd be listening into my phone conversations or checking my internet usage.
Well, last question. Do you feel like the news that you receive on base is censored? Now, I understand that you guys have access to television just like anyone else and newspapers like anyone else.
I have civilian cable, but, the fair and balanced reporting of Fox News is hardly fair nor balanced.
Have you been reading the letters to the editor in Stars and Stripes?
Yes, actually, I was quite shocked to see a letter to the editor in Stars and Stripes about 9 months ago discussing how we have the best military intelligence in the world and we weren't able to find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. But we were able to, in a completely closed country like North Korea, for example, find out that they were shipping, Scud missiles or some other type of silkworm missiles to... Where were they shipping them to?
They were on their way to Iran. I think Iran, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the reason I ask, if you want to read something interesting, you can get to this online. Go to Stars and Stripes. Read letters to the editor from July 27th, I believe, or July 28th, through the first week in August. I was looking at this before the program tonight, and there are letters from guys in Iraq, mostly, some in Afghanistan, guys and gals, but mostly in Iraq, but some from Afghanistan, who are just busting this administration a new body orifice.
Really?
And it's published right there in Stars and Stripes. So
I'm just a chicken then.
Well, no. I appreciate your request that we just use a different name on you, but you ought to read. If you have any time tonight or whenever, just go to Stars and Stripes, read the letters to the editor section for the past week. It's astonishing. Sean, I'm glad you called in. I hope you call in again when you have the time.
Roger that.
All right, sir. Take care.
All right, out here.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Thank you, son.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasper, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Show. According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say, wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational, and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want it's me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why not
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So Ashcroft wants a name. He wants the names of all the federal judges who do not follow federal sentencing guidelines. I listen to this. This is from January 2001. All right. This was in Salon.com. Somebody just sent it to me again. I remember the story. This is when... This psychopath Ashcroft was the attorney general designate. He hadn't been approved yet by all the Democrats in the United States Senate. And the article said the nephew of attorney general. Should we make this Uncle Mike's story corner? Ah, now to hell with it. Let's not make it Uncle Mike's story corner. I was going to play the music, but never mind. The nephew of John Ashcroft received probation after a felony conviction in state court for growing 60 marijuana plants with intent to distribute the drug in 1992, a lenient sentence given that the charges against him trigger tougher federal penalties and jail time. Ashcroft, at the time, was the tough-on-drugs governor of Missouri. Alex Ashcroft, 25, and his brother Adam, 19, were arrested and charged with production and possession of marijuana after police raided their home in January 1992, a housemate, then 24, was also arrested. Officials said approximately 60 marijuana plants were found growing in a basement crawl space, and a lighting, irrigation, and security system was also discovered. Although growing more than 50 plants triggers federal prosecution and results in jail time thanks to federal mandatory minimum sentencing laws, Ashcroft fought to toughen as senator. His nephew was prosecuted on a state charge and received probation. His brother Adam did not live in the house and was never prosecuted. According to the other man's lawyer, Ashcroft, young Mr. Ashcroft, tested positive for drugs during his first post-probation drug test, yet still remained free. The lawyer said, as I recall it, in his first month on probation, Alex had a positive urine test. Reached for comment, Alex Ashcroft's father, Bob, that would be John Ashcroft's brother or brother-in-law. Alex Ashcroft's father, Bob, first denied that his son had failed a urine test, then said, anything's possible. Asked about the failed urine test, Alex's mother, Beverly, told Salon, I have no idea. That's such an upsetting time. It's all a little foggy. Young Master Ashcroft was sentenced to 3 years in the Missouri Department of Correction for a Class C felony involving more than 35 grams of marijuana. The sentence was suspended, and he was placed on probation for 3 years and sentenced to 100 hours of community service, which he served. Ashcroft's parents point out that the housemate, Kevin Sheely, who went before a different judge, received even lighter treatment. Sheely's records are sealed. And all his lawyer would say is that his client was officially not convicted. Bob Ashcroft, the father of these two boys, says the prosecutor was from the other side of the aisle. That would be a Democrat, I guess. He did everything he could to prosecute my son. The Ashcroft boy's mother adds, I think the facts are clear that his uncle as governor certainly did not bail Alex out. Oh, God, no. Alex Ashcroft's connection to the governor was widely known. The arrest made national newspapers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution to USA Today, as well as the local dailies. Mindy Tucker, a spokeswoman for the Bush-Cheney transition team, said, quote, given Senator Ashcroft's reputation for zero tolerance, I'm sure if he had anything to do with it, the penalty would be much worse. He would have influenced the sentence in the opposite direction, end quote. Now, there's more. And I'll share it with you when we come back. Now, keep in mind that Ashcroft now wants the names of federal judges who go downward. What's it called? Downward departure from federal sentencing guidelines, as in drug cases. His two nephews should have been in prison for 10 years. They got probation because a judge downwardly departed.
Than you and I could ever hope to drive. They got four-wheel drives to turn it. Credit cards just burning, seeking kicks and highs on which you can't rely. There's just one thing satisfying. He's the one who did our dying, and he's waiting in that city in the sky. Now there's lots of folks have been thanking that real joy it comes from drinking at the world.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Walmart's in hot water again with the courts, this time over allegations the company makes store security staff work long hours without overtime pay. A federal district court judge involved in the case has ordered Walmart to turn over time records for all workers at Walmart stores in Arkansas and eastern Texas. In addition, the judge selected 15 random stores where Walmart must provide more detailed timekeeping records for store security. It's the largest investigation so far into underpayment claims against Walmart, but it's only one of several pending in courts around the country.
Still no contract for workers at Goodyear. 16,000 employees of the tire maker have been working on an extended labor agreement since April, and on Saturday, negotiators with the United Steelworkers of America presented the company with a counterproposal the union hopes will protect health benefits and ensure greater job security. Goodyear is looking to cut more than $1 billion in costs over the next 2 years and wants the flexibility to move jobs overseas.
Europe's heat wave has the UK thinking about a new labor law that would give workers the day off if the mercury rises too high. A survey of 650 British businesses found more than 90% think a maximum temperature law would be a great idea. UK labor law already mandates a minimum workplace temperature. It must be at least 61 degrees for general labor and 55 degrees for strenuous activity.
36,000 Michigan employees of the retailer Meijer have a chance to vote on a new labor agreement. The United Food and Commercial Workers won a tentative contract on Friday that would maintain health care benefits for both full and part-time workers and would boost wages by 13% over the next 4.5 years. If Meijer employees approve the deal on September 2nd, they'll be among the highest-paid grocery workers in the Midwest.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Oh, she's far too young to die. You can see it in her eyes. It's time to let the mighty eagle soar. Let the eagle soar.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
27 before the hour. I know, I've had people threaten that if Kathy played Ashcroft singing like that, they would abandon this program. I apologize. I have nothing to do with this. This is Kathy playing Ashcroft. Can you believe that? Anyway, the federal law enforcement official who had jurisdiction over the case at the time, the busting of two of Ashcroft's nephews and a friend of theirs, on a major, what is considered in this country to be a major pot bust, these boys had 60 marijuana plants growing in a crawl space in their house. And under sentencing guidelines, in effect, 10 years ago and now, these boys should have gone to prison for a long time. But because they were Ashcroft's nephews and one of Ashcroft's nephews' friends, nothing happened. They got some probation. Now, the federal law enforcement official who had jurisdiction over the case at the time, U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Missouri, said he had no knowledge of the Ashcroft case. He's a Bush appointee. He said he didn't know anything about it. And he was in charge at the time. He didn't know anything about it. Others convicted of similar offenses in Missouri have certainly faced tougher punishment. Eric Edmondson, an electrical engineer in Pineville, Missouri, served 2 years in Leavenworth Federal Prison after his August 1993 arrest for what police said were 51 marijuana plants growing on his property. Not in a crawl space under his house, but on his property. He was accused of selling marijuana, a charge he denies. He accepted the plea bargain to spare his wife, a non-drug user, who was also charged. Edmondson said you get a bad gut feeling in your heart when during sentencing the judge says, "I'm sorry I have to do this. No good can come out of it," says Edmondson. He said he's bitter that Ashcroft merely got probation after being convicted on similar charges. Young Masters Ashcroft. The irony, and I'm quoting from Salon, the irony of an Ashcroft relative receiving lenient treatment for a drug offense won't be lost on drug reformers. The Drug Reform Coordination Network, a national advocacy group, calls Ashcroft, quote, one of the most hawkish drug warriors supporting some of the most extreme drug war legislation during his tenure in the Senate, end quote. He has supported toughening mandatory minimum sentencing laws. He's opposed efforts to end the disparity between penalties for crack and powder cocaine. He's opposed efforts to curtail racial profiling. Now, his nephew's arrests weren't the only drug-related embarrassments during Ashcroft's term as governor of Missouri. His drug czar in Missouri had to resign over revelations that he was using drugs. As for the Ashcroft nephews, their mother reports they are both married now and doing quite well. Young Mr. Alex works in computer installation, and young Mr. Adam is in insurance. Mom Ashcroft says, "It was a good learning experience for the boys. They're both responsible citizens. It was a stupid college deal that taught the family a lot. Goodbye." How often can you scream and rip your hair out, huh? Ashcroft nephews. Now, I frankly am against all marijuana laws. Every single one of them, and most other drug laws. But if we have the laws on the books, and people have their family, their lives busted up, their families destroyed over marijuana, for God's sake. But if your name is Ashcroft, nothing happens. And if the sentencing guidelines are not followed, nothing happens. Now that Ashcroft is not the governor, now that he's not a senator, he was defeated for both positions. And then Bush appointed him attorney general in order to pay off his religiously insane base. So Ashcroft, attorney general, now wants, now, today, wants the names of judges who commit what's called downward departure from sentencing guideline rules. He wants the names. Ashcroft wants the names. He wants to blacklist the judges. Now, again, I ask humbly and why have we not removed this government from office? Peacefully and legally. During the break, regarding the subject a little while ago about seniors and cancer, Shirley emailed in, Mike, maybe some insurance actuary has figured out how many seniors will get cancer and will die without proper treatment. Since the average lifespan is becoming higher and higher, people living longer is not what the Bush regime would want. When people die earlier, no payout to Social Security or to any other programs that help seniors who are poor. This is the new Hitler, a cleaner way to kill. Shirley emailed that in reference to the information now that the Bush crime family wants to cut back on Medicare payments to for cancer drugs, Medicare. Cancer drugs. Jesus. It's just, oh, well. Dave is calling from Silverdale, Washington. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Been a while since I called. I've been teaching during the evening.
We've missed you.
Well, I missed you, but I got to tell you something. I've been out fighting fascism, and I'm actually encouraged. I think that we're making progress, and actually the things you're talking about kind of dovetail right into the things I'm out doing, because I'm involved with a group called LEAP, that's Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. We're a bunch of ex-cops, and we're out fighting the drug warriors, and you know what? We're winning. Because,
well, give me an example. Give me something to hold on to here, Dave.
I'll give you an example. Last Wednesday morning, I spoke to the Seattle Rotary Club. They're actually called the Emerald City Rotary Club. 100 civic leaders, they're business leaders, and you know what? They sat in rapt attention. They listened to the message. They were supportive of the message. And we don't have a wishy-washy message. Our message is all drugs need to be legalized, because that's the only way you're going to take the profit motive out of it and the criminal element. And we need to bring some sanity to the picture. We've got over 700,000 parents in prison in this country. And when we imprison parents, we're just putting those kids at higher risk to go to prison later. And it's a sin. It's a sin. I don't know how people like Ashcroft. I mean, I can look forward to the fact and enjoy the fact today that he'll be in hell someday, okay? But we need to do something now, and we need to stop this sanity, and we need to stand up for democracy.
Dave, now you mentioned before on this program that you're a former police officer. What is LEAP?
LEAP is, our website's at leap.cc, and we are Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and our director is Jack Cole, 20-year member or more, actually, of the New Jersey State Police, worked undercover drug stings in Boston. We've got ex-DEA agents. We have ex-Scotland Yard people. We have an impressive group of ex-law enforcement people, and we are against drug prohibition.
Right,
we
now,
know that it doesn't work.
I was going to say, are you against it because it draws resources away from police departments? Are you against it from a point of view that it is illogic to lock people up for smoking a weed? Or on what basis are...
No, it's anti-democratic, for one thing. It's anti-logical because you're right, it simply doesn't work. But it also puts police in a role that they weren't meant for. The police weren't meant to be a hostile occupying force in this country. Police are there to protect and to serve. And this phony drug war is just what it actually implies. It's put the state at war with the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And the other people who accept it because maybe they're not drug users, or let me rephrase that, they don't use certain drugs that were traditionally associated with people of color.
Right.
But we have huge drug use in this country in terms of mood-altering drugs, be it stimulants like coffee, be it alcohol, which is the most dangerous drug there is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But those drugs are commonly accepted in Western white culture, and we just deal with it. We know there's a downside. We know that certain people are going to be alcoholics and have problems with it. We know certain people are going to use alcohol and hurt others. But we know that making it illegal is worse.
Mm-hmm.
But we won't make that jump of logic with other drugs because those other drugs are associated with people of color traditionally.
Now, let me ask you about the Seattle. You said this was this morning?
No, last Wednesday morning.
Last Wednesday. Okay.
The Rotary Club, yeah.
You were the only speaker, or was there?
I was the only speaker,
okay.
And I was an invited guest, and
right.
We've actually spoke to several Rotary Clubs around the country. Jack Cole last year spoke before the European Union. We're warmly received. When people hear the message, mm-hmm. they give standing ovations. We're talking people that are traditionally very conservative. As a matter of fact, after I spoke last week, a gentleman come up and say he invited me to speak to another group that's extremely conservative, but he felt they needed to hear the message.
Mm-hmm.
So people are hearing it. And the thing is, and I want to tie this into a caller you had from the military. I live in a military neighborhood. I'm associated with the military. An hour ago, I was up in the pool at Subbase Bangor. I live next to the XO on one of the submarines.
Mm-hmm.
I live down the street from the command master chief on an aircraft carrier.
Right.
And you know what?
Right.
If liberals and progressives would just stand their ground, don't be angry. Be indignant, though, because this is about our dignity. They're stepping on our toes. And if you just stand up, be who you are, and speak your mind, you know what? It's not a problem. They hear it, and they hear it, you know, loud and clear. It doesn't have to be about conflict, but, you know, the right likes to go through life with their lies and their garbage and throwing sharp elbows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for, and I applaud you because I think you're out front with it, and people like me are out front with it. I'm throwing sharp elbows back,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to back down, and you know what? When you do that, the people in the military, when you just stand your ground, then you know what? People respond to that. And they hear that dignity, and they know that, you know what? There's something there, and they listen.
I find it. Have you had any conversations with, for example, the executive officer that you just mentioned
yep.
regarding Bush policy vis-a-vis the military?
Absolutely. I got a sign out front saying, you know, stating my opinions about this war, and I've made no bones about it. Now, he's uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're neighbors, and we still live as neighbors, and we talk, and we deal with each other, and, you know, we respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he's, you know, deep down, he's got a job to do. He's living his life. And you know what? I know that he respects me because I'm a good father. I'm a good neighbor. And I'm doing the things I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that liberals, we've been cowed into fear, and we need to kind of shake that off and find our dignity and just speak up. And
well,
you know what? If it pisses someone off, so be it.
Yeah, I think politicians, so-called liberal or democratic politicians, have been cowed into fear. You're obviously not fearful. I'm not fearful. Most of the people who participate in this program is either a listener. Hell, I read the emails. These people are not fearful. We all know you send an email now with certain keywords, it can trigger surveillance. We understand. Now, we know that this is Ashcroft and Bush's America. What is interesting to me is how much courage and backbone and spirit and determination average folks like me, like you, like the people who listen to this program have. The cowardice seems to be coming from the Democratic politicians.
Oh, they are.
Where's their backbone?
Well, Joe Lieberman, I mean, my God, I just, when I read what that man is saying, I just shake with anger that this man would call himself a Democrat, and that when he says what he says, when he plays into that game of vilifying the left, based on our opinions, we're Americans. I have a God-given right to that opinion, and I don't have to apologize to Joe Lieberman. And when Joe Lieberman shows up in Washington, well, he's not going to make it here that far, actually.
Right,
he'll be done in, after New Hampshire. But if he were to make it that far, I know 100 Democrats will be out there demonstrating against him.
Mm-hmm.
He's sickening.
Dale, it's always good to hear from you. Keep us posted on what Leap is doing, and thanks a lot for checking in tonight.
Will do.
All right, sir. You take care. I've got the best audience in the world, Kathy. You know, when I used to listen to Limbaugh or some of these other right-wingers, I used to listen to the brain-dead callers, just jackasses. Oh, some of them had some technical knowledge. They could talk the talk about finance or computer technology or whatever their field was. But they were just jackasses. When I listen to the people, really listen, which I try to do with every phone call, to what people have to say that call this program, it's just astonishing to me. I mean, I have the best job in the world. I may work in a sleazy business, talk radio, but I've got the best job in the world because every night I get to listen to conversation. I get to hear people who call this program, who help educate me and you. You know, each one of these people that call in, whether it's Dave or whoever, is educating and us, you and me, and bolstering when the going gets tough, the tough order pizza or something like that. But when the going gets tough, and it is tough right now for liberals and progressives, but when you hear somebody like Dave or some of these other folks who call this program, and by that I mean damn near everybody, with these powerfully strong statements of this is what I'm doing in my life, here's my story, this is what I think, this is what I believe. Like the military guy that called in. We had to disguise his name. Like Dave. Like everybody that's called tonight. When you listen to that stuff, you just think, well, okay. Maybe the resistance really is there. But I'll tell you, I just, every morning when I wake up, I just think to myself, what time is it? Okay, how many hours before I get to go to work so I can listen to what people have to say, and provide some kind of access for other people to hear what the callers to this program have to say. It's just amazing.
Some call it the weed. Some call it marijuana. Some of them call it ganja.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court. support, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Steffen should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Listen, there's all kinds of ways to treat substance. I understand that.
Yeah, you should. Five before the hour, David is calling from San Francisco. David, I'm sorry it took me so long to get to you tonight. We only have about 2 minutes here, pal.
Oh, no trouble. Hey, Mike, I got to agree with the fellow from, was he Oregon, the last caller?
Washington, Silverdale, Washington.
Yeah, man, he had right on the money there. I also have been traveling around recently and seeing a good part of the Midwest. And there are a lot of these dopey Chinese-made U.S. flags out on everybody's lawns. But if you go out to the, you're standing in line at the grocery store, or, you start in this conversation. You know, I started off by wearing my Impeach Bush button everywhere I go, and people they're quite willing to listen. You know, they sometimes you got to get them away from a crowd,
right?
Because it's got to be a one-on-one conversation sometimes in order to get an honest answer out of them. But there's you know, there's a lot more agreement than you might imagine. What I wanted to talk about, too, and this has to do with traveling around the nation, is the state of the economy. It's, you know, it's pretty crippling all around the nation. And a lot of people are pretty terrified when they realize that they may be working for minimum wage and that minimum wage may be yanked out from underneath them. So it, I think that if people just stick to the issues, you know, I mean, there's a lot of allegations. You know, I clearly believe that Bush did it, you know, in 9-1-1. I don't have any doubt. It's, you know, I saw the first plane crash in there, and I said, man, that was just sucked in there by a beacon, you know. So it's just, you know, it makes it too obvious. And but you don't have to get into that discussion. You start to talk about, you know, all of these noble vets that are going over there to the Middle East, and they're going to come back. What was it? We used 300 tons of depleted uranium 10 years ago. Now we've used 4,500 tons. And if you thought that we had a bad problem with Gulf War syndrome then, this is 15-fold the problem, and we're keeping them over there much longer than before.
It's just horrific. Dave, always good to hear from you, but, pal, we are just out of time. We have 10 seconds.
All right. Well, enjoy. You know, it's a good life, and, you know, just give everybody a little credit. I think sociologically people have got to stay a little cautious and leave the hard work up to the minority. So there you go.
All right. Thanks, David. Appreciate you checking in. Ah, another Monday night X'd off, huh? Program engineered tonight in Detroit by John Lucas. Catherine Bay produced. Robin Bittman is our announcer. And thanks to Mark Marshall, MaximumInteractive.com, our webmaster, and, of course, our music bureau chief, Jim, in Arkansas. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weekly.